Tomorrow evening, the International Literature Festival Dublin will celebrate the life and work of writer Tim Robinson, who sadly passed away earlier this year. Robinson, the writer, mapmaker, mathematician, artist and illustrator, spent more than 40 years chronicling his adopted home, the Aran Islands and Connemara. His books include the two-volume Stones of Aran and his Connemara trilogy. I'm joined now by Robert McFarlane, the author of Mountains of the Mind, The Wild Places, The Old Ways, and most recently, Underland. Robert will take part in the appreciation of Tim Robinson's work tomorrow evening. Robert, you've called Tim Robinson's Connemara trilogy one of the most remarkable non-fiction projects undertaken in English. But is it fair to say that you came late enough in your exploration of the landscape to Robinson's work?
Yes, I mean, I don't think one can come too early. Good evening, Kate. I mean, I think of his work as a landscape, really, a single continuous landscape. And it begins on the Aran Islands first, then it moves to the Barren, and then to the Connemara trilogy, which perhaps is where many of your readers will have met him as well. But it's really one great achievement carried out in mapping, in prose, in philosophy. So yes, I came later than I should have done, but I have learned so much from that friendship with Tim that I had briefly, and then from his work.
We're just going to play a clip of Tim Robinson now. This is where he explains that he was living as an artist in London when he and his wife came to the Aran Islands, really after seeing Robert O'Flaherty's The Man of Aran. And here Tim Robinson is speaking to Mike Murphy on RT's The Arts Show in 1995 about why he made the move from London to the Aran Islands.
I was pursuing a totally different career in London as a painter under another name, Tim Drever. And I was exhibiting large abstract paintings, abstract geometrical paintings and environmental constructions and so on. And gradually, somehow getting shy of those big, very exposed public works and retreating into doing tiny things which gradually dwindled down until they were almost invisible. Well, there's certain problems about doing invisible works in the visual arts.
There aren't too many buyers.
That's one. And so I started writing. And writing, I'd always done some writing, but I found it was an enormous pleasure to be able to shut that page, shut the book at the end of the day's work, and that was it. It was sealed away. Nobody could see it in its unfinished condition and so on. It was a secret thing. And I wanted time and space to explore writing. So we decided to go back to the Aran Islands. When we arrived there, of course, it was November. No electricity, a very damp little cottage that we'd rented, and the first hail squalls beating across the island. It was quite traumatic, but it was wonderful. We survived that winter, and then I found the island so intoxicatingly fascinating. I started to collect all sorts of information about it. And then a lady on the island suggested that I make a map of the island, and that seemed a wonderful way of collating all this information and also expressing it as a whole. And I began to write. So really what I wrote for the 12 years that we lived on Aran was a diary. And I have 13 huge fat volumes of this diary and an enormous amount of information in all disciplines.
Tim Robinson there speaking to Mike Murphy on RT's Arts Show from 1995. Does that methodology, the way he went around the island, doing sketches, making maps, taking notes, is that familiar to you in the way you work, Robert?
Oh, yes. I've got a big smile on my face listening to Tim there. He speaks, doesn't he, with such precision and elegance and modesty, and I love the thought of his artworks dwindling down to the invisible.
Disappearing, yes.
Because in a way, his work as a writer was the reverse of that. He would take tiny details, and then he would gyre outwards from them and set them oscillating on an almost mythic level. There's a lovely image I have of him during those walking years on Aran, which I keep in my mind when I'm out with a notebook. It was so wet on the islands as he walked the perimeter to create the volume that became Pilgrimage, the first of the great Aran diptych, that he would put both hands and his notebook and his pen inside a big plastic bag, a single plastic bag, which he would then sort of seal at the wrists. to keep the pen and the plastic bag dry. So if you can imagine this man, you'd meet him in the squall and the hail, and he would have both wrists locked together inside a plastic bag holding pen and notebook. And I think what really strikes me about that is it's a prayerful position. He's praying to the islands, to their geology, their deep time presence. And he walked that into being. And that I truly recognize. It was one of the things he taught me, was that the body knows in ways that the archive doesn't.
Yes, you talk very much about yourself, about walking in the landscape or lying in the landscape, sleeping over in the landscape, climbing a tree in the landscape. It's that same, you have to be on your feet in the landscape.
Yes, I think that's right. I love the feel of a place, the touch of stone on the skin, and I think that sleeping, if you can, in at dusk and dawn at times of revelation, and night is time of when you see in the dark in different ways. I mean, Tim, he wrote about limestone. He was a great writer. Without qualification, but he limestone was his substance, if you like, and also his medium. It's the 350 million year old substance that makes the Burren, that makes the Aran Islands. It was ground clean of life 15,000 years ago by the ice and left bare, and on it life has sprung in that time since the ice retreated. And Tim's prose, his whole way of thinking, always struck me as very limestone-like. It has hidden depths. It's mysterious. Secret, I think, was a word he used at the end of that lovely clip. And it was full of secrecies, like limestone. You never knew its extent. You could never know it fully.
And then along with the geology, he would, of course, explore the manual labour of the people, the way that the stone walls, the direction they would be built in, the place names, the famous people, the characters, let's say the priests or the Protestant clergymen who would have come proselytising.
Yes, I think that's wonderfully put and vital to a sense of his project. It wasn't at all stony in that it excluded the human. It was rather that he saw the human as continuous with the deep time of the stone, which itself was living once. Limestone is the compressed remains of marine life. He practiced, we might say, a democracy of curiosity. He was as inquiring of a single hawthorn bush on a hillside as he was of the cant of a stone wall, as he was of the postmistress on Aran, who was the person who suggested he made a map, and so began his great mapping of what he wonderfully called the ABC of earth wonders, the Aran Islands, the Burren and Connemara. So that's perhaps the modesty of which I was speaking, but also this lovely parity of vision.
You're not a map maker, are you? Do you sketch?
Oh, I wish I were. I have all Tim's maps. I get them out. I teach his work so much. I speak of him so much to my students. And he's such a vital figure for me, such a visionary. And when I first saw his maps, I immediately decided that I must become a map maker, a surveyor. But of course, it's a huge training and an art. And Tim was an artist, as you heard, before he was a writer. So the answer is no, I'm not a map maker. I do sketch in my notebooks because they fill with material forms of memory and shards and glints of image and sketch, and that's part of the record. But in no sense am I a cartographer like Tim.
But the maps are beautiful things that Tim has created, but they did serve another purpose. Were they the kind of mosaic that then he dug deep into to create his writings?
Yeah. I mean, he's a salvage archaeologist, we might say. So one, he has a lovely line somewhere, I think, about language being the frontage with which we breathe the earth, something like that. I've mangled it slightly, but you know, Irish was vital to him, and he felt that a colonial cartography had come across in the form of the Ordnance Survey and in many ways stripped the landscape of the naming that it needed. And so he he was part of a move to restore and recover some of the naming depths. And the maps were part of that. So if you look at them, they bristle absolutely. The outline of the Aran Island, of Aran itself, is, you can barely see the rock, as it were, for the place names. They stick out like gun points, and so dense. And he found that density, recovered that density, wherever he looked, through patience and through time. And then the prose, as you say, thousands of pages of it. I mean, the extent of Tim's achievement is astonishing. Across decades, across thousands of pages, multiple forms, he was creating one vast, deep map.
Do you think that his Englishness was something that lent to a kind of, even though he seems so imbued into the soil there, but did you think it gave him some kind of freshness coming to Connemara and the Aran Islands?
Well, I'm probably not best placed to answer that. I mean, he was with, we must always think of Tim as with Mairead, his wife, who died shortly before him this year.
That's right.
And she appears as M in his books. And I don't see the two of them as divisible, really. And the achievement of Tim is continuous with the presence of Mairead. So I think he read mathematics here in Cambridge, where I teach today. He was an artist in Turkey. He came and, as you've heard, moved to the Aran Islands in 72 and committed to them, stayed a dozen years, and then moved to this house in Roundstone in Connemara, which became really the hub of his world, the center of their gravity socially and intellectually, and home eventually of Tim's extraordinary archive. So I don't know if it's possible to say that it gave him the eye of the outsider, because I think his humility caused the landscape and its people to open to him. That's probably all I can say.
That's right. He also talks in that 1995 show about walking. When you walk to around the Aran Islands, then people will come out and offer you a cup of tea.
Yes. Yes, that's right. I remember him telling me of that. And I must say the two of the times I met Tim, I was so struck, so hero struck to be with him. The first time I asked him so many questions and kept him talking that I completely forgot to feed him. And then all the pubs and the restaurants had shut, so he only got a handful of peanuts out of me. And the second time I saw him in London with Mairead, not so long ago now. And I came into the house. They'd laid out lunch, and I was so excited to see Tim that I sort of swept my coat, and the hem of my coat pulled the entirety of the lunch off the table and onto the floor. And so we went hungry again.
He'll see you as the hungry acre indeed. Robert McFarlane, thank you so much. Unfolding Maps, a celebration of Tim Robinson, is on tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. as part of the International Literary Festival Dublin. And that's more information from ilfdublin.com. That's it for tonight's show. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Cara O'Hare was on sound. The researchers were Paula Shields and Leah Murphy, and the probe was produced by Sinead Egan.